Welcome to Another News. I'm Jeff Brady. This is the second part of the interview with Carissa Conti, author of the book Chasing Phantoms. The topic is interference and how to recognize the various types when they're occurring. We left off at defining the types of interferences that usually take place on the individual level, such as when people are trying to accomplish for the greater good a positive life mission, relationships, both romantic and friendships, and online bullies and trolls. In this second hour, we look at a few more individual subcategories and then on to the macro or global level of interference. Through compiling a journal on these personal experiences, Carissa had noticed over time that individuals who acted as if something were operating through them were all saying the same things. She called this type of narrative unoriginal scripts. These individuals using unoriginal scripts range from online trolls who don't know each other to family members. This phenomenon correlates with Robert Bruce's research in his book, The Practical Psychic Self-Defense Handbook. We step into a very interesting realm in this interview. This is a conceptual discussion, and Carissa's research into interference isn't meant to influence people to become paranoid or to take less responsibility in their life. The idea is to learn about the nature of a certain type of interference and understand it operates for good and bad. Carissa, welcome back to Another News.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me back.
We need to refresh listeners on what we're talking about. If you could, please summarize what interference is.
Interference is a huge category, and it encompasses interfering with people on an individual level as well as just humanity as a whole on the global level. So as mentioned in part one of the interview, the kind of interference that I've written about on my website involves those other forces, whatever they may be, who meddle in human affairs towards negative ends, you know, again, both on the global level as well as on the individual level. And, you know, those other forces vary in terms of who and what they are and the agendas that they may have, like what they're actually trying to accomplish with their interference. The forces could be anything from aliens to demonic entities, the human elite who work in conjunction with these forces. It can involve everything from basically directly abducting and programming a person to change their behaviors and actions, and then working through people as well, the people that are around a particular person, and have them negatively impact that person through the things that they're saying and doing. So that's the sort of the general gist of what interference involves.
Why does interference happen?
There's multiple possibilities for why it occurs, and talking about on an individual level, you know, some of the reasons could be anything from, you know, it could be a learning lesson so that a soul learns and grows. You know, the soul wanted a challenge to get past, and something that would help it grow, and something that makes the game more interesting. So that could be one reason. There could also be complicated karmic entanglements that tie into other lives that a person has had, and, you know, that's where the interference is coming from. It could also be just opportunistic free will violations, being that this is a free-for-all zoo, basically, is what this place is. So the negative stuff does it just simply because they can, because it's free will zone and they can do that. It could also be, and, you know, again, this is something I touched on in the previous interview, but could be one's personal frequency, drawing in those sharks to the blood, you know, due to those unresolved emotional issues that are floating around in a person's personal field, which could date back to traumas that they experienced in childhood or even other lives. So it's floating around in their field and therefore kind of makes them an easy all-you-can-eat negative energy buffet, as I call it. Makes them a target. And then there's also that the interference is trying to preemptively kind of stamp out somebody who's positively oriented with this potential to make a positive dent in the world and affect others in a good way. So negative stuff is trying to make sure that doesn't happen, try to derail them or just take them out of the picture altogether. There's also, this is a weird one, but possibly someone could have found themselves kind of mixed up in negative happenings in a past life, maybe aligning to negative stuff maybe this person got involved in negative contracts with negative elements. So even though a person may have learned their lesson and, you know, maybe even consciously aligned themselves with the positive in this latest incarnation, it doesn't matter. Negative stuff is PO'd because, you know, you switched teams or you reneged on a contract. And one of the signature traits of negs is that they're very petty and very vindictive and they don't ever let anything go. So maybe, you know, that they're kind of basically chasing after a person lifetime after lifetime. And that's something I've encountered, mentioned in research that I've done, is that aspect of things. Or maybe you were, you know, always aligned with good and, you know, you did things in another life that helped the positive stuff, you know, at the serious expense of the negative. So either way, negative stuff is pissed and they're coming after you. So hence the interference. So those are just some generalized reasons for how, you know, why it would be manifesting for somebody.
Oh, yeah. And that's very interesting. So that answers the question somewhat. If a listener's thinking, well, how come some people attract interference and I don't?
Right. Well, yeah, because everybody's situation and, you know, their karma, if you will, and for lack of a better term, is going to be different. So everyone has a different situation going on. And again, you know, some people, that as far as their impact in the world, it's not registering on anybody's radar. That's all.
Specifically the negative entities.
Right. Like, it's nothing that's going to directly mess with them. Like, they got their little negative agenda. They want things to go a certain way. And certain people are going to mess with that just because they're positive and they actually have some sort of a mission, and it's going to poke at the negs, you know, gets their attention, and they need to try to squash that.
Also, what happens when you start to read your material, Carissa, is that you notice it happening. You didn't really notice it. You knew something was going on, but now you can specifically look out for certain things.
Yeah, that was kind of the goal with a lot of what I'm writing, is to try to bring awareness to people, especially for those who did have it happening and maybe they weren't making connections. Or, you know, our life, our daily life can be so busy and distracting. Sometimes, you know, you're just plowing through stuff and it's hard to stop and really just take time to ponder on stuff and, you know, and notice maybe what's happening and question it, because we're so busy. It's just like, go, go, go. And so that was kind of the goal with what I'm writing, is to try to help bring attention for those, especially who are experiencing it. For those who aren't experiencing it, they just find it as entertainment to read. But for those who are, I want it to be useful and to help shine a light on stuff maybe that they weren't noticing or had noticed but didn't have time to really ponder on it for too long.
Carissa, in the previous hour, we went through a number of categories here. We didn't get to all of them, but there's one at the bottom here titled Severe Bullying and Abuse Against People. And this was under the individual category, where it's happening to individuals as opposed to a mass of people or a country. Can you talk about that aspect as far as the interference occurs?
Yeah, that was something that I had actually, it got my interest, because as a kid, I had experienced that as well. I had severe bullying that went on for years, and thank God it was before the internet, because with what goes on nowadays in terms of bullying, because kids have the internet, it's just a million times worse. But it was still pretty bad even for the time. And, you know, I also had the bad home life, very unhappy, negative home life. So it was kind of coming at me from all angles. And that's what I kind of find interesting, is when it comes to the bullying and people have the bad families on top of it, where it seems to be coming at it, like a kid, for instance, from all angles. Like, kids are innocent. So you got to wonder what is going on there. It's one thing when an adult, for instance, is getting targeted or whatever, but when an innocent kid is having this stuff happen and is coming at him from all angles, what is going on there? And that kind of led me to try to question how interference is happening, what may be going on here. And that led to some of what I just mentioned about possible past life holdovers, or, you know, other things that are kind of following you around from life to life. So and that's why it's happening to innocent kids. The bullying, as far as I can tell, it's kind of a way to try to derail somebody before they've even had a chance to get off the ground. And it ties into that whole preemptive action that I mentioned on that list. And something, if you notice, like, because, you know, the whole bullying thing has become huge in the media. People, all the kids that are killing themselves because they're bullied. Something that I've noticed, and I originally had this in the article and I took it out because I just decided I didn't want to go there when it comes to, like, especially like kids and stuff. It was kind of maybe controversial, but something I had noticed was that when you look at these kids who are killing themselves because of the severe bullying, they're all apparently really good kids, really sweet. They were like a light in the world. Like nobody has, all their friends and family had nothing but good things to say about them. And they were just these sweet, good, sensitive kids that probably maybe would have amounted to a lot of positive had they not killed themselves. And they were surrounded by these little demon brats that were just telling them, you know, giving them messages on Facebook and stuff, you know, go kill yourself and basically acting like little demons. And I wanted to get into that originally in my article, but didn't, because it's like, you know, is that controversial to hint that little kids could be evil? But I see that as all a part of the same phenomenon, where it's these negative and or demonic stuff that can work through vulnerable people, which includes kids, because kids aren't fully formed. And let's face it, I think some people may just start out from the get-go in life as a negative or half-empty person. Maybe they don't have that higher spirit, and stuff can work through them. And it's targeting the really good kids that are a light in the world. And that was my theory I had.
Yes, and as you indicated, it's a lot worse now with social media and the emphasis that young people place on these things, because it's permanently out there. Whereas before the internet and really the social media, maybe it's a rumor in school and it goes away. It's gone. And maybe somebody took a photograph, or there's a Polaroid, or there, you know, with you with a ridiculous haircut, or with maybe you tried to be in a band and it was really horrible. But now it's plastered everywhere. And I think it also prevents people from taking a chance on things as well.
Right. Some of these little bully demons, whatever you want to call them, that might have a very strong presence in somebody's school, and the meeker, kind, nice kids that are sensitive see that, and they just try to lay low and, yeah, just try to stay off their radar, because nobody's stopping these kids and they're just running rampant. And yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, it just seems like it's controversial. I mean, can we really talk about the idea of little kids who we're told are all innocent and pure? You know, is it possible that some of them could be, you know, having these negative things working through them? And I say absolutely. And as somebody who went through it myself growing up, I mean, it's clear that some kids are just really good and others are not. And even some of the kids that came from bad families are still good. So how else do we explain that? I think a lot of it is part of like whether or not what you come in with to begin with when you are born, whether or not you have that higher spirit. But that's just my belief and theory. And I do think maybe not everybody has that. So they become vulnerable to these forces.
Oh, definitely. Now, that wraps up the category of interference on the individual level. There are probably some other aspects to this. However, you do talk about the global scale, the macrocosm level of interference. Can you define that?
Sure. On the global level, is basically what I'm referencing with that is all the ways that humanity is being held down with the idiot psychopaths who are in power over us, you know, leading us into these nonstop wars and strifes, and on top of manufactured poverty and sickness and the poor educational system, which just seems to be designed to churn out mindless cogs for the wheel. So, you know, the powers that be want to be the few with everything, in charge of the many with nothing. So they don't want a planet of billions of equally rich, healthy, smart, and well-informed people competing against them, because that would take away their power. So hence the system that we have in place around us to help ensure that that never happens. And then, you know, you got to look back, like when it comes to things that have happened in history, all the things that had to happen to get us to where we are today, that the world that we currently see around us and the timeline that we're on, I don't think we should take the events of history at face value. You know, there's a big possibility that a tug of war is going on, and that various forces have been wrestling with each other over the eons to manipulate the direction of things and to ensure that we try to wind up on a particular timeline that suits something's particular agenda. So, you know, you look back at, you know, just the various things that have gone on in history, everything from the, you know, burning of the Great Library of Alexandria with all that knowledge that went up in flames with it, and the wars and the genocides and that have killed tens of millions and wiped out entire bloodlines, the plagues, which I'm not sure if you've ever read this book, The Gods of Eden.
Yes, it was one of the first strange books that I started reading back in 89.
Yeah, I think it's a really good book. And something he gets into, William Bramley, the author, is that there may be evidence that the plagues weren't naturally occurring, but rather actual bio-warfare that was sort of unleashed onto the population of Europe by the quote-unquote stuff, in particular the Black Death. So it may not be natural. It's another one of those manipulations. It wiped out 3/4 of the population of Europe. And how did that change the timeline? And then you have the, just over history, the various misuses and abuses of religion, the current fiat money banking system that we're in, and just all the secret societies and the so-called Illuminati and all this stuff that has shaped everything about where humanity has gone and why we find ourselves exactly where we are right now. And I just don't think it's an accident.
Right. It's loaded with manipulation and interference, as we're talking about. That's the global scale. Does severe bullying and abuse occur on the global scale with countries?
Yeah, and there could be multiple reasons for why it's occurring, but you see it like the ongoing thing with the Jews, for instance. You know, everybody knows what happened to the Jews in World War II and the extreme level of persecution that they experienced. And now what the Jews are doing to the Palestinians and trying to annihilate them and get them off of what they claim is their land. And, you know, you had the Armenian genocides and just throughout history, it's just particular populations that get singled out to be the target by the bigger bullies that are trying to wipe them off the face of the earth. And the Native Americans, that's another one. How many millions of them were here before the white man arrived, and now the few pure Native Americans are still left are herded into reservations, and that's all that's left of them. So, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's happened throughout history of various peoples and cultures getting bullied, if you will, sometimes completely annihilated.
Are there any other aspects of the global scale interference that you want to convey?
Well, I think, you know, ultimately an important point to mention is that what the end result of it is, like, for instance, in the world that we see around us today, it's a world where we are now under control. So it's like everything that was happening was designed to try to minimize the population, because who knows how many more tens of millions would be alive had all these wars and genocides and plagues not happened. So get the population down and get us under control. So we see that in our current society where it's just all these things that are in place to keep us completely controlled and under surveillance and everything. And then we're, you know, people as a whole are just, you know, we're kept in ignorance to the truth of many things. I mean, we don't know who we are truly in our own history. I mean, so much of our history is wiped out. We don't even know it anymore. We're working as slaves and oftentimes living in sickness. And we're only like a select few hold all the power over the entire planet. So that is now our current situation, and all of these events, when you look back at history, those are all the things that had to happen to make sure that that is what the present situation is.
Yes, I thought that was a very remarkable perspective that you put forward in the context of interference, which it relates to a lot of scholarly research that a lot of guests on other shows on the station have done, and very important to get it on the record. Well, okay, so that's the global scale of interference. Coming back into the individual interference, there's so many aspects of that, like we mentioned, but there's something that you pointed out regarding the bullying online and the abuse online, and that is... All right. And that is something called unoriginal script, which I thought, I've never heard of this before. And I think you really uncovered something kind of big here.
Yeah, in my Hidden Puppet Masters article, I get into this. And it's something that I've seen on both a small and a large scale. And I wrote about the larger scale version of this, you know, in Hidden Puppet Masters. But just to give people a quick background. But the article came about because I was reading a book called Understanding the Borderline Mother by Christine Lawson. And it's regarding, you know, what it is to have a mother with borderline personality disorder and the way it impacts her children. And as I was reading it, I was kind of blown away by all the verbal abuse nonsense that the author mentions that borderlines will often say to their kids, which matched verbatim to a T things that my own mother had said to me and my brother, and which at the time that she was saying this stuff to me years ago made absolutely no sense. it was stuff that didn't even fit the situation, didn't even fit me, and it was basically blatant lies about me that just made no sense. So I started thinking of other situations I've encountered as well, where I witnessed negative people saying the same nasty nonsense or acting as if they were possessed by the same energy that would give them the same face, the same look in the eyes, the same voice, and basically began to realize that it really is like there are these negative forces that are operating through vulnerable and or half-empty people, wearing them like puppets and speaking through them, using the same unoriginal scripts on their targets all across the board, whether it fits them in the situation or not. So that's the preface for how that article came about and what inspired me to write it. And so I was just really blown away to see her, the author, talking about things that I'd experienced with my mom, but I didn't know at all that other people had, you know, the same abusive situations where the moms are saying the exact same things. It was like the author was a fly on the wall, basically. Like, she was there and she was writing about my mom. So this really got me thinking about what is going on here. And, you know, this whole thing, it fit into something that the author and researcher Robert Bruce had discussed in his book called Practical Psychic Self-Defense, which is a book about negative entities, you know, what they are, how they operate, and what you can do to try to minimize them and the things that they're doing to you. Mm-hmm. And one of the big things that he had noted was that these demonic neg entities, they're basically very two-dimensional and they lack creativity. And they don't tailor their attack modes to custom fit you, the unique individual. They're just very simplistic. He says they're very cunning and very intelligent, but they don't have that creativeness to modify their attack modes. They just use the same techniques on everybody across the board, and that they get bamboozled, is the word that he used, when they come across somebody for whom it doesn't work with. So they're doing their usual stupid across-the-board script nonsense, and you don't respond the way everybody else did, and they just don't know what to do about it, and they won't custom tailor it. So it's just, that's how they're operating. They're operating on scripts and preset modes of operation. So, you know, just kind of putting all of this stuff together, that was what gave me the idea and the inspiration to start working on this article. So, you know, you're looking around in reality and all the times I've seen this and how it could be useful for other people who might find themselves being on the receiving end of abuse, where people are saying terrible things to them, but stuff that doesn't even fit them. It's trying to convince the target that they're just so bad and you're this awful person, and accusing them of things that aren't true. And guess what? It might just be that they've got negative stuff operating through them that's just going after you and using that unoriginal script.
You gave a really good example in the message boards, where some of the people that attacked others were saying almost the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. I've encountered it on message boards. That's a smaller way in which I've noticed it, where like someone would be like kind of going after me on a message board and thinking that their idea was their own and these words that they're typing are their own. But guess what? It wasn't. And I was able to like link over to a post that somebody else had done, showing them the same verbatim thing that this other person had said, to kind of give them pause and like make them realize, you know, what you think are your own thoughts and words are really not. There's obviously some other force working through you, which it ties into what we talked about in part one, the first hour of our interview, where I described how both Tom and I have heard from people when he used to run a message board talking about how they felt this negative presence kind of connecting up to them and trying to manipulate them into going after me and attacking me. And, you know, one guy in particular who he was so disturbed by it that he left the forum for a little bit to regroup, because, you know, it was just disturbing for him to feel this foreign energy that was trying to get him to go after me when he personally had nothing against me. So it didn't even make sense. But these things happen. It's like these forces can get into people if you're in a vulnerable state.
So the idea is that whatever these forces are, they're not very original. They do what works. It's evolved to a certain extent, and
right,
it works as a standard narrative to attack.
Yeah, it's basically the idea of like, if it isn't broke, then don't fix it. And obviously these attacks that they've done, they've worked, you know, over however many eons, you know, against people, and they've learned like this is a great general thing that works. So they just keep using it and keep employing it, you know, on everybody, because it works on the majority. And it can work to crush your self-esteem and to make you feel, you know, crabby about yourself, can even drive people to suicide. You know, all the things that verbal abuse can do to people, verbal and emotional abuse.
Another aspect here of the same thing is the refusal to admit wrongdoing or take responsibility at any point and apologize, even after the fact.
Yeah. That was something I've noticed with multiple people, including my own mother, who I used as an example in that article, but I've definitely witnessed it with others. And it's all a part of the overall trait of their over-the-top level behavior. When I say refusal to apologize, like, I mean ever. Like, they will not ever admit wrongdoing. I mean, no matter how badly they're acting and all the names that they're calling you and all the insults they're throwing at you and the false lies they're accusing you of, at no point do they ever admit they could be wrong or off base or slightly skewed and take any kind of responsibility in any way. I mean, it's like this obsessive focus that's on you. Like, you are this monster, and they're trying desperately to convince you of what a horrible person you are, while taking no responsibility on their end and absolutely not apologizing. So it's just this over-the-top level obsessive focus on the target. And that in itself is almost a dead giveaway that you're dealing with something very unnatural here. That's not a normal human behavior.
Yes, it's very interesting about the not apologizing. Why do you think that occurs? Does somebody not know they did something wrong?
Well, it's because they're not really in control of themselves. It's obvious to me, and it's my theory that there are these negative forces that are operating through them. And, you know, and actually, in some cases, maybe just someone is just a total psychopath, and, you know, they just don't feel anything. So that, you know, they have no empathy. So they don't care. So they don't care if they're hurting you, and they don't see their own faults. They just don't care. But I think in a lot of cases, it's just because they have these negative forces that are operating through them. The person themselves is half empty, not much to them in terms of their consciousness. And then you've got this negative thing that's kind of operating through them. And of course, that negative thing doesn't care. So that's why it's just so exaggerated, so over the top, this level of attack against the person, and why there's nothing about it that's human or normal or reasonable. Because negs aren't normal and reasonable, and they don't have empathy. So when they're operating through a person, the person's going to demonstrate those same traits.
Carissa, regarding the way these entities work through people, what is it about the vulnerability of someone that allows that to happen?
Well, basically, everybody is susceptible. Nobody's immune, I don't think. I mean, everybody can find themselves possibly being used in some way, both good and bad. I mean, something I just really quick as an aside that I wanted to mention is in my article, I talk about how both positive and negative are at work in our reality. It isn't just all negative. So there are times, many times, where the positive stuff is getting through and working through people and animals, and in particular, domesticated pets, for instance. And, you know, we've probably all had those times where we find ourselves, it's almost like some positive angelic force is working through us and causing us to say something really good to somebody else, something that they needed to hear at that moment to help pep them up and help keep them going in life when they were feeling down or whatever. Or someone has done that to us when we needed it. It's like stuff was working through the person we're talking to. So you do see both forces at work equally, the good and the bad. So I just wanted to point that out. But as far as the negative stuff and how one can become vulnerable to that kind of getting into you, again, we're all susceptible to it. But one of the patterns that I have noticed with some of these empty people who seem to be puppeted and piloted by these other things is that, for starters, most of them, if not even all of them, but most of them for sure, had traumatic abuse of childhood, molestation, rape, severe physical abuse, emotional and verbal abuse, just a lot of trauma. And very unstable upbringing. And there's that factor. And then also drug and alcohol abuse, which usually goes hand in hand with the person who's had a traumatic upbringing. They oftentimes descend into alcoholism and drug abuse. So alcohol and drugs it weakens you not only mentally, but etherically, like your energy body, spiritually. It just kind of opens you up it weakens you and opens you up to these negative forces that can now get in and maybe gain a foothold. And a lot of times these people who've had traumas in their life, I've noticed it's almost like they get fractured on the soul level. So that's another thing I discuss in the article, is like these things that have happened are just so bad and so traumatizing that they just become fractured, and like pieces of them kind of just leave. And that's when I'm talking about people being half empty, that's basically what I'm referring to, the fractured people.
We're speaking with Carissa Conti, and this is the second part of the interview on the topic of interference. Just tuned in, we're speaking with Carissa Conti, and this is the second part of the interview on the topic of interference.
And then, you know, these people who are often already half empty and fractured, and then they're getting into the drugs and the alcohol, and it's just a recipe for disaster. But even if someone hasn't had those kind of traumas, you know, just engaging in drugs and alcohol can weaken a person and allow for these things that are just swimming around. They're all over, basically, just like the positive stuff, but it can allow for it to kind of get in. And then, you know, you going into places that have very negative energies, where the negative stuff is swarming around, it's attracted to that, you know, just going into that, you can come away from it with stuff kind of attached to you. You can pick up stuff, depending on where you go, being around people that have that kind of energy, you can pick up something. So that's what I mean, like, we're all susceptible, but certain people are definitely more susceptible. And that's just what I've noticed, like patterns in terms of the abuse and the drugs and the alcohol.
Right. And this is in the context, listeners, of interference and allowing something to work through someone else. And
right.
How can you tell a friend of yours or a family member is something is beginning to work through them?
Yeah, because that's people are going to wonder when they're listening to this, like how can you tell that something has kind of gotten into somebody and it's not just them acting on their own volition? Like, how can you tell the difference? And some of what I have noticed and other people have noticed and things that I've come across in my research is, one of them is the obvious turn. And this was actually mentioned in that Borderline Mothers book by Christine Lawson. I mean, she discusses the turn that happens with these borderline mothers, where one minute they're fine and then they can just literally from one second to the next, it's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And from what I've seen, it's like the eyes go dark and it's like this, you know, thundercloud kind of descends over them out of nowhere, and their attitude and demeanor, it just changes within seconds. And that turn can involve the rampaging, where they're just irrationally rampaging on people, or on the target in particular, the physical and verbal abuse, and so on. So, and like I even mentioned in my article, in some cases, they may even get blacked out while they go into these turns. And they may not remember at all, like once they come to, that they even did this, because something else was taking them over in that moment, almost like possession, basically. And some may remember, but because they're half empty anyway, it doesn't bother them. So they don't even care. Even if they do remember it, they don't feel anything about what they did. They just don't care. So that's one of the big ones. I've noticed another thing in terms of what you'll see in the eyes. I had an experience where I encountered a guy that was basically following me in a white pickup truck, and it's just the inhuman look in this guy's eyes. It was like nothing I'd ever seen. I called him an it thing because the look on this guy's face, like he was following behind me in a silent pickup truck as I was walking on the sidewalk. And I just had a really bad feeling, and I turned around and I realized there was this white pickup truck that had been following behind me for God knows how long with this thing behind the wheel that the exterior facade looks like a human, but the eyes were like nothing I'd ever seen, just this really intense, inhuman, crazed look in the eyes. And my best friend at the time, Shirley, also had an experience with the same guy as he was chasing her around on the 5 freeway in Southern California. So, and the eyes, it just, it was like nothing either one of us had seen. So that's another thing that I've noticed. And relating to the eyes is that sometimes these people will get this like, it's like a glassy-eyed glint. Hmm. And usually coupled with like, they're also saying something really strange and pointed at the same time with, they get this glassy glint in the eye and a strange voice and with a smirk, you know. So it gives the impression of like a predator toying with its prey. Like a higher intelligence is pretty cunning and it knows exactly what it's doing and it's just trying to mess with you. And I've absolutely experienced that on a few occasions. And I've heard from people emailing me mentioning that specific thing about the glint in the eye with the smirk while these people would be saying very strange things to the target. So, you know, that makes me wonder. And then also the strange voices. That's something else I discussed. The Borderline Mother's book mentioned the borderline moms using this hissy, angry voice, which was the same thing that my mom did. There's also what I've noticed is the calm and smooth, emotionally cold voice, but at the same time, while saying something really horrendous to you. So the contrast between the horrendous thing that they're saying and or the threat of abuse that they're saying to you, but with the really calm, emotionless way in which they're saying it, it's very creepy and very effective. It's not natural. So those are some of the physical things that I have noticed, as well as others. And then there's the behaviors that I've noticed. You know, there's the normal human behaviors, and then there's behaviors of when you're dealing with something else. So that's kind of tricky territory to try to, like, say it. But part of it ties into what we were talking about earlier, with that really over-the-top level behavior where they refuse to apologize. It's like an obsessive focus on you, like desperately trying to portray you as this horrible monster, and it's all on you. They take no responsibility on their end. It's just completely irrational and over the top. It's just not human, with the false accusations and the lies. And another thing I've noticed, and this seems to serve the purpose of energy feeding, it's when they go around and around and around with just, you know, you can't pin them down on anything. And this can go for hours, where it's like basically anytime you try to pin them down, get them to focus and see a particular argument through to the end, they just skip on past it to another thing and another thing and another thing. And they're just whacking so many balls at your head that you can't even keep up. And they're just drowning you basically with just so much nonsense that just keeps you going round and around and around and around, you know, all the red herrings and the straw men. And next thing you know, 2 hours has gone by and you're completely riled up and crying and upset. And they're just like stone cold. They feel nothing. And that's the whole point, is just to feed off of you. It's one of the points anyway, as well as just to try to like pound you down. And I've experienced that on several occasions with different people. And then like I had mentioned in my article, like you have the irrational rampagers that are going completely nuts so cuckoo on you. And then you have on the flip side are the people that are being just flat and emotionally cold and detached. And sometimes you will see that behavior displayed by the same person, but in different instances.
Yes, that's happened to me a couple times. Somebody I've known very well.
And I think neither side is genuine, neither emotion. When they're irrationally rampaging and all just psychotic and upset about stuff, you know, and then they're just flat and detached and emotionally. I mean, neither one is real. It's just whatever serves the purpose at that time, because both are very effective at upsetting somebody, you know. So.
The false accusations and distortions, and of course the ad hominem attacks, where nothing really gets resolved, it's just an attack. That happens to producers and hosts on the station by certain individuals who run blogs. And I thought that fits right into this particular category. Robert Bruce, who you mentioned before, who wrote the Psychic Self-Defense book, you quote him, and I think it's very interesting just to mention this again, a single neg can influence and even possess many people simultaneously, which I think is really weird. But I just recently heard the late Father Malachi Martin, who was an exorcist priest at the Vatican, say the same thing in an interview with Art Bell. And I thought, wow, this is confirming what Robert Bruce is talking about and what you're talking about. And I really didn't understand it until now.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems clear to me. Like, I mean, it may be multiple separate negs, but, I almost wonder if it isn't just one gigantic negative energy that it just extends itself out into the population, like, you know, figurative tentacles that kind of get into people. And it's the same one force, you know, just ultimately, like, the positive is probably ultimately all stems back from the same one positive source, you know.
Well, that would certainly support the unoriginal script theory.
Right. Yeah. The way in which how can these seemingly separate people, different people in different parts of the world over different parts of time from different cultures, how could they all be saying the same very specific things and using the same voices? And, you know, I have several examples in my article where I talk about witnessing people seeming to, like, their faces are the same, their voices, the verbatim word for word things that they're saying. And it's like, how is that possible? You know, and I think this idea is the answer. It explains a lot.
Well, you call this area hyperdimensional. And in one of your articles, you mentioned the various densities around us. And I thought you did a really good job in describing it. I'm not even certain the first density through the third and the fourth to the seventh. I guess people call them dimensions. I'm not really certain about this stuff. We can't see it. I don't know what it looks like. We're on a planet. There's gravity. That's my reality. I look at the physical reality in that sense, but others I talk with actually have a sense of something, other worlds being right next to them. And, you know, I can't sense that. However, you've charted the densities. And if you could explain that to listeners so they get an idea of what these worlds are around us.
Yeah, and it's not, and just to make so listeners understand, it's not my concept, but it's just based on what I've come across. This is how others have described it, that there's, according to these researchers, there's about seven densities. First, second, and third density is the world that we see around us. You know, first would be like rocks and minerals, and second would be like animals, maybe like plants and animals or something. And third would be humans and other very high, intelligent, capable animals, like, you know, dolphins and humans and apes and things, I guess, to an extent. But it basically, densities one, two, and three are all kind of, they exist together. And the only difference, the difference is in this regard just has to do with what your awareness is and your consciousness. Then you get beyond third and you get into like fourth and supposedly fifth, sixth, seventh. And these are the ones that are not physical. These are what you just described, these other worlds, or whether it's dimensions or however you want to describe it, that are next to us. Which for a lot of people, if they haven't experienced anything paranormal, it might sound ludicrous, but I mean, I have experienced dealing with non-physical entities, which I write about on my website, especially in the article I wrote about called The Vortex, where I'm getting into that thing and my experiences with that. And where they're coming and going, these non-physical entities are coming into my reality, and then I'm watching them go through the wall and disappear. And they're not physical. So clearly to me, this illustrates that there is a non-physical realm, this other layer of reality where stuff exists. And what these things are and what that reality is, I don't know. And I don't know if it correlates to what is called fourth density, fifth density, or whatnot. But I do think there are these other non-physical realms. And the difference supposedly between those realms is just the frequency difference. So if someone in physical reality wants to tune into that reality, you have to basically kind of change your frequency. And it would have to change its in order to come into our reality as well, because we're, you know, just basically like a radio station with a different frequency. It's when you're tuned to a different frequency, you can't pick up the other one. So I guess that would be the best way to try to explain it.
Other more benign reasons for people to be affected by these things include moon phases and biorhythms. Can you tell listeners about that as an indicator as well?
Yeah, you know, like I stress in my interference article, it's kind of important to try to, you know, if you feel like you have interference happening, to try to get to the bottom of it. Don't just jump to irrational, hasty conclusions. Try to, you know, just keep calm and analyze the situation, because there are other possibilities for what could be causing disruptions in your life, as well as things that are causing people to act a little bit wonky. And it may not always just, you know, be negative stuff is operating through them, but there's these other things that can happen that also they do affect and influence humans. So in that way, yes, it's causing interference, but it's not interference that's being done by a knowing force. It's just sort of an inadvertent side effect of something. And the moon phase is a big one. And most people are pretty much aware of that, especially like what happens during full moons. And how it's just for some reason, and I still don't fully understand why, but the moon really does seem to affect people, makes people kind of act crazy. And so with full moons, you kind of notice a lot of outward aggression and crazy behavior. And new moons are also just as important, and a lot of people aren't aware of that. But with a new moon, it tends to be more inward negativity, like people feeling just kind of depressed or disgruntled and disillusioned, maybe even suicidal, wanting to break up with whatever relationship they're in or quit the group they belong to, or just, you know, that kind of disillusioned, disgruntled feeling. So, you know, the moon has an effect on us. And there's also personal biorhythms. Not everybody believes in it, but apparently there's, you know, we have natural cycles pertaining to our physical state, mental, emotional, and intuitive. And these cycles start from the moment we're born, and they each run on different time periods. Like some are like 33 days, others are about 25 days. But these biorhythms, it's like a sine wave almost. It goes up and down. And when it's at the peak at the top, you know, then you're at your peak for your, you know, physical prowess and your intellect and your intuitive capabilities and so on. And when it's at the bottom of the wave, that's kind of what I call bottoming out. And it's when we're at our lowest and most vulnerable. So that could be something that affects people. And it's not, you know, something that's through some knowing force, although I do believe that sometimes maybe these forces can exploit that if they know when we're at one of our low points and we're really vulnerable, they might be able to exploit that in their best interest. And then another weird one that I've noticed is like when there's low pressure storm systems that are overhead, I've just seen over and over again where this negatively affects people. And the theory behind that could tie into like what Wilhelm Reich was saying in regards to orgone energy and how like these low pressure storm systems deplete the area of negative ions. And apparently negative ions are actually good, whereas positive ions are kind of bad for us. So I don't know if this is the reason, but it's just a theory that Wilhelm Reich had about the negative and positive ions. And so when these storm systems I've noticed are like just parked overhead, people will be just really low energy, really grumpy, and it just can really negatively affect people. So I just put these things out there in the article to give people an idea that, you know, sometimes there are other factors, and it's not always, you know, hyperdimensional stuff that's trying to get at people. And you got to be really careful. It's, you know, you don't want to go down that road of believing that there's all this stuff that's out to get you. So you want to try to keep a leveled head.
Indeed. And, you know, I'm thinking of all these past events in my life now through some of this information that you're bringing forth. And I remember going to work one morning when I lived down south, and I got in my car, but I noticed a small dog across the road staring intently. I just thought that was weird. After I looked at it, it started to run after me. And I got in the car and closed the door. And took off, and the dog chased my car around the corner. I'm going down the road. I'm going about 25 miles an hour now. It's keeping up, but it's running on the side where there's no sidewalk. It's lawns and little hedges, and it's jumping the hedges and looking at the car at the same time. Something had possessed this animal to chase my car all the way out into a four-lane busy avenue, and it followed me there and then into another even bigger road. And by the time I accelerated to past 35, I looked in the rearview mirror, and it was standing in the middle of the road where it couldn't run anymore. And I thought, I've never, ever seen anything like that in my life. And I know dogs chase cars, but this is highly unusual. And then now you're saying things can take over animals, and now I'm questioning that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually really a really creepy incident, you know. It's like almost like the dog was acting like a cheetah just chasing after you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even know how that's possible, but I mean, that is amazing, and it is very creepy, especially the way it's staring at you. That to me is completely unnatural, and I really do think that stuff can absolutely do that with an animal. I mean, if it can with people, and we're supposed to be smarter and have a stronger conscious, then why wouldn't it be able to do it with animals? But positive stuff can work through animals too. And something else I've mentioned in my article, so I don't want people to think I'm only talking about the negative, but I've seen examples of positive stuff being, you know, working through domestic pets, and you see it in the news and stuff where they're saving lives and alerting people to fires, or, you know, to parents when a baby has suddenly stopped breathing in its crib and other such things. And so it's amazing when you see that. But yeah, I think it also can on a negative way as well. So that's what it sounds like from what you described.
I know. And the other aspect is these animals, these domestic pets that do these wonderful things may just be doing them because pets have love and their own conscience and everything. Now, you wrote about how you've come to a place where you're balancing confrontations out in regard to interference, and you try to end any kind of weird confrontation pretty quickly. Can you tell listeners how you handle interference now?
Yeah, and this ties back into like some of the stuff we were talking about before, which is if you notice that this stuff is happening to you and you become aware of it, you know, that's half the battle, is becoming aware and seeing it and then, you know, deciding to make a conscious decision to get it to stop. And how do you do that? And that involves kind of changing your personal frequency, changing who you are, basically meaning like changing your internal reactions to things specifically is what I'm referring to. And that's something I had to do in my own situation because, you know, years of the bullying as a kid that I went through on top of the negative family situation and my mom and everything that I went through with her, it kind of shaped me to be in such a way where I wasn't good with dealing with people who were bullying me or pushing me around in life, especially like at work with coworkers that were really, causing trouble for me. I would get flummoxed and I wouldn't know what to say to them, or I'd come up with a comeback like 10 minutes later after it was too late. And, you know, I'd be shaking and upset and I just couldn't handle myself in those situations. And it just kept happening. Like I'd be like someone that people would target and kind of hone in on and kept drawing them in, like, again, the sharks to the blood. So I had to kind of like look at that and like, what can I do to change this? And so it involved like changing your internal frequency and just learning how to not react and seeing through these people and seeing the whole thing for what it is. And the big key is to kind of strike that balance where you eventually learn how to stand up for yourself and to kind of give the smackdown immediately to anybody who thinks they're going to be bullying you or pushing you around, but without going overboard and, you know, just knee jerk react to anyone who's coming at you and not being mindful of what you're saying and just freaking out at them and almost being like hyper vigilant where you're looking for confrontation all the time and expecting it. So I've aimed to try to strike that balance where I'm not looking for confrontation. I desire a peaceful existence, but so I'm not putting myself in situations where confrontation can happen. including going online anymore, because that's, you know, participating in a lot of message board forums because of the situation with the trolls that can go on there, like we were talking about earlier. You're just setting yourself up to have to deal with it. So I removed myself from situations and removed people out of my life that were causing problems. So remove as many avenues as possible where that kind of stuff can get at you. And then also changing my own internal reaction. So now I'm not looking for a confrontation, but if it were to happen and someone were to try to like push me around, my response is immediate. Like I can just put them in their place, but at the same time being mindful and aware of how I'm responding. So it's not just mindless, knee-jerk, reactionary, over-the-top response. It's like I'm aware of what I'm doing when I respond. And so I've noticed that really helped, you know, like cutting stuff out of my life that would be an open avenue in to get at me, as well as changing my own responses and just learning how to not let things affect me anymore so that I don't show up on stuff's radar, because it won't work anymore. So they got to go find somebody else that they can antagonize.
Carissa Conti, I have to say, this has been a very interesting two-part interview on the topic of interference that you've written extensively on and very originally as well. I want to thank you for being on In Other News. Your website is intoworlds.net. That's the number two in there. And you're the author of the book Chasing Phantoms: Personal Experiences, Observations, and Theories into the Abduction Mind Control Phenomena. Thank you very much for being on In Other News.
Well, thank you. I thank you for having me on. I really appreciate this.
That's going to do it for In Other News. I'm Jeff Brady. Join me again next Monday, 10 p.m.